From a warm spot in the cockles of my heart, in the darkest recesses of my mind, it's Jockulation with your host, LB Faust. Jockulation is an interactive social broadcast hosted by the cultural attaché to the SARS and ringmaster of the shit show himself, LB Faust. It features original satire, comedy, punk rock, and humorous bits every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Jockulation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. Due to copyright restrictions, all segments which feature music from other artists and performers have been removed from this recording. On with the show.
Yeah, I think what I'm going to do is queue up a bunch more songs like that because now I get why Krim does it all the time. Hey, kids, it's Friday night. I'm LP Faust, your host. We got a Circle of Intimacy here for a Memorial Weekend.
That's one of us. Google gobble, yeah. One of us. We accept that one of us. Google gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us.
Crazy weird shit. It's like episode 98 of Jockulation for those that are keeping track on the podcast. That means we're like two shows until the official 100th episode of Jockulation. And do we have any big plans yet? I'm just asking.
How about new?
Yeah, the committee is still in recess. Can't seem to get its thumb out of its ass. Eventually, we'll figure out what's going on over there. But can you actually believe? Yeah, what are you playing music for? It's not like you have anything to drink. you know, after that song, you're probably right, Ron. You know what I mean? But, you know, don't judge. Don't judge. So here we are, like two shows left after tonight's show, I guess, before that 100th episode. Who the hell knows what's going to happen? We're going to do a little bit of celebrating here because LP just got his first 5-star review over on iTunes. Check me out. Look out, man. The world is actually, I don't know, kind of paying attention. And it was kind of cool. Got myself a little video review that was sent over. Felt wonderful. Thanks for the review. You're kick-ass, dude. I appreciate everything, man. So I was reading a couple of stats like on podcasting since I decided to like take this a little bit more seriously. No, hey, nine, Qua don't come here no more. I think like Qua and Cly are like off over like frolicking and gallivanting with the unicorns and rainbows somewhere. That's all. So it's okay. Just let him go ahead and play with the unicorns and rainbows. Leave him alone. Hey, Eileen. So I read some like stats on podcasting since I'm taking this shit seriously. Funniest part about this is, as I'm reading through, I'm like, you know, the line that sticks out is 70% of the people on podcast, you know, that listen to podcasts don't want to listen to the music. They'd rather listen to the host sit there and babble like some fucking crazy ass baboon. So I'm like, oh, okay, that kind of explains everything. So I'm thinking to myself, you know what would probably be a good thing to do? Why don't we just cut through the bullshit and I can just recycle the same playlist like every week? Then that way, nothing actually changes. I mean, it's not like anyone's listening to the freaking music anyways. Whenever I go ahead and put it up on the podcast, I have to pull out all the music. So I'm kind of sitting there thinking to myself, should I just cut the show down to 1 hour? And since that's like the length of time on the podcast, or should I just like recycle the same playlist? Because it's like equal work, right? Something to that effect. Something to that effect. So I found myself wandering over into like Angela's show the other night, right? Over in the Espanol channel. So I'm over there, and it reminds me a lot of like Sábado Gigante with Don Francisco on Univision, right? It reminds me an awful lot of that. So I'm hearing people singing and doing their thing. I'm waiting for Don Francisco to show up and come inside the room and start doing some introductions and shit like that. And next thing I know, Angela outs me. I was sitting there trying to be the trash panda with the kitties, you know. I'm trying to go ahead and like be all surreptitious and shit like that. Just don't say much. Just kind of listen. Check it out. See what's there. And Angela's like, oh, look, an LP's joined us. And I'm just kind of thinking to myself, oh, damn it.
Fuck you, fucking fuckers.
So I go over inside there, and they're sitting there trying to have a conversation with me in some Spanish. And I'm just like, you know, doing my thing of, uh-huh, yeah, no, yo hablo un poco español. And then it's like, well, you know, somehow it all came out where it's like, didn't LP go ahead and actually, like, wasn't he with somebody that was from Peru for a little while? Yeah, maybe I let on a little more than I know. Is LP quiet or is it just me? A bonehead, it could be just you. I don't want to go ahead and crank this up, because if I did, then all these expletives, you know, like this one over here would probably, you know, blast your eardrums out, or maybe this one over here.
Fuck you fucking fuckers!
Actually, I'll tell you what, hey, Bonehead, if you go ahead and listen real close, we'll go ahead and check your audio, right? Nearly Dead Ric Flair always
does.
Yeah, see, it'll always do it for me. Does that help? Are your ears ringing right now? Something to that effect. So at any rate, I was over on Sabado Gigante over there and freaking Wednesday night. And so Angela and I were like going back and forth. Hey, Ron, man, you got to get on this shit. She's like, I'll take the room before you go ahead and come in. And I'm just kind of sitting there thinking to myself, hey, I've got a freaking intro. That's not like some guy sitting here playing rock power ballads from the fucking 80s. And, like, putting up all kinds of pictures and stories about kids in garbage bags. So I was like, it's a win-win. It could actually be, like, the shit. It'll actually make me sit there and ask the important question, you know, right before I get ready, you know.
Who the fuck thinks this is popcorn time?
Right? We got to go ahead and have that excitement. There's got to be fucking electricity in the air. You know what I'm saying? No? Okay, that's all right. We'll get to it. We'll get to it. At any rate, on with the show. So years back, right? Well, first off, hold on. Before we get on with the show, happy Memorial Day weekend to those of us in the United States. To the rest of you, all too bad. But you know what? Go ahead and have a barbecue anyways. Pretend like you're an American. Pretend like you actually have a day off because, you know, religious reasons or something like that. That's all I'm saying. I'm just making helpful suggestions and hints. So let's go on with the show here. So years back, I was sitting here with some friends getting ready to go over to a place called Iguana Cantina when I was living back over in Miami, Florida. And we're going to go there not for Memorial Day weekend, but for El Cinco de Mayo. You know, Cultural Appropriation Day for Mexico. We decided we were going to go over there. And don't worry, there's a reason why we're going down this road. So what winds up happening is I have my good friend with me, who probably should have turned in his man card, because every time we'd go somewhere, he'd want to go ahead and make his own, like, custom little fucking drink that was kind of like, you know, sweet and creamy and cute and all that sort of stuff. And it would annoy the shit out of bartenders everywhere. So as we're sitting there, and it's Cinco de Mayo, we are, like, at a bar that's, like, I don't know, 8 across and, like, 15 deep. And all they're selling at that time is tequizas, margaritas, and, I don't know, beer, right, out of a bottle. So we're sitting over at the table, and a friend of mine's like, hey, listen, I'm going to go up for a margarita run. Who wants a margarita? Everybody's like, margarita, margarita, margarita. And another friend goes, I'll have an almond joy. Let's stop right there. What the fuck is that? I don't know. All I know is, you know, it's probably got some ice cream in it. It probably would go ahead and get him questioned severely about his man card. But he decided to go down that road. So friend number two says, I'm not going to order that shit because I'm going to go to the bar, and they're going to tell me to go fuck myself. And he's like, no, they won't. I'm not going to tell you that. He's like, look, man, I'm not going to get it. You want to buy it or your goddamn drink, you go get it, right? Friend number two goes up. Friend number one that wants his custom drink goes to the bar also. So they go up at the same time. Friend number two comes back, and he's got, like, exactly like that picture there, Nosh. He's got, like, I don't know, 50 fucking million margaritas, and he's slinging them around the table, and we're all like, dude, hey, this is fucking awesome, right? Friend number one, who wanted his custom drink, still nowhere to be seen, wondering where he is. After we've had like three margaritas, friend number one that was crying comes back with margarita in hand. Yeah! And I'm like, bro, what happened? And he said, nah, it didn't work out. I said, no, seriously, what the fuck happened, man? He's like, I went up there and they told me to go fuck myself. Yeah! So the moral of that story is, with all these goddamn custom orders, bro, be kind to the fucking bartenders. Now, you TikToker fuckers out there that do this kind of shit to people, let me tell you something. Pox on humanity with TikTok, because what are these fucktards doing now? They're creating custom fucking coffee orders for the Starbucks baristas, right? It's just like, what in the fuck are you doing? I could just see. You walk into the Starbucks barista. Hey, can I have this TikTok order? And the barista's looking at you like, dude.
How about new?
Get the fuck out of my face with that shit, right? All right, so at any rate, Starbucks employee Josie went on Twitter the other day, right, to vent about how complicated the Venti Caramel Ribbon Crunch Frappuccino was that customer Edward ordered. Now, I bet you Edward is code for friend number one from my story. Quote, on today's episode of Why I Want to Quit My Job, the barista craftily complained in a now viral tweet. Edward ordered his venti caramel ribbon crunch frappuccino bullshit with a twist of lime with the following. Are we ready, guys? Just take notes because there'll be a test on this a little bit later. 5 bananas, extra caramel drizzle, extra whipped cream, extra ice, extra cinnamon, 7 pumps of caramel sauce, extra caramel crunch, 1 pump of honey blend, 7 frappuccino chips because 8 would be offensive, heavy cream, extra salted BMBTR, whatever the fuck that is, and 5 pumps of Frapp RST coffee. Oh, and on top of that, he ordered it double blended.
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, let me tell you something. Is it worth it to sit there and get paid like $8 an hour to take bullshit orders like this over at Starbucks? Fuck no. Actually, I should probably say, you know.
How about new?
So Edward's drink is one of many inspired by TikTokers encouraging extremely creative coffee orders because they've got nothing else to do with their life. Don't you have some Gorilla Glue to play with? I'm just wondering, right? Using the hashtag Starbucks, content creators everywhere are sharing hundreds of customized bullshit drinks from the unofficial, quote, secret menu so their followers and fellow coffee drinkers can harass the shit out of Starbucks baristas everywhere, okay? Just, hey, listen, man.
Fuck you fucking fuckers!
So I'm just thinking about it, right? Their coffee does suck. I agree with you, Bonehead. I actually go to a local person over here. A local place. So I'm sitting here thinking to myself, right? What, no squatty potty unicorn rainbow swirl pinch loaf with sprinkles on top? I mean, how can you even call yourself a TikTok influencer without that and a shooter of, like, Pine Sol to go on the side? You know what I'm saying? That's the kind of shit that we're looking for. I mean, this is a recipe you'd see from somebody high on acid while gorging on miracle fruit. This shit has to be like the trash can punch made from a failed ice cream flavor experiment over at the Cold Stone Creamery, you know? Like black licorice lime sorbet mixed with peanut butter Captain Crunch and Mentos. You know what I'm saying? That's the kind of shit. Yeah, right? That first sip. That's the kind of shit this stupidity looks like, right? And given it's from some TikTok, shall we say, air quotes, influencer, I'm wondering why the butt funnel is left out of the recipe. Because, logically, no human would drink this shit unless choosing suicide by diabetic coma, so it must be a TikTok ass noodle challenge of some kind, right? I mean, that's what I would logically think. What about you? And I mean, since this bullshit probably is inspired from some kid who almost died from licking public restroom toilet bowl seats while doing the COVID challenge on TikTok, I noticed a few essential ingredients missing from the other authenticiously TikTok favorites. Are we ready, kids? I noticed that it missed 1 tube of erection cream, 16 pumps of Gorilla Glue, some froth semen cocktail mixers, and maybe a few foreskin stem cells for sprinkles and, like, skin rejuvenation. You know what I'm saying? That would have gone ahead and made this, like, authenticiously a freaking TikTok-inspired drink. And, I mean, it's fucking disgusting. But, kids, it doesn't just stop there. I've discovered this fantastic recipe for the barbecue this weekend that you guys can have. And it's wonderful. It's like a very classic recipe designed by a TikTok influencer, no doubt. But it was featured over on, like, the Food Network's blog. I mean, who in the fuck has ever heard of, like, popcorn salad, right? I just, like, listen to that, and I'm just, like, looking at this.
What the fuck?
Bro, popcorn salad, what the fuck are you doing? So Molly Yee, an American food blogger, after waiting in line for Starbucks, getting a goddamn coffee. She appeared on her popular Food Network show called Girl Meets Farm. Let's just stop there. Anyone here ever heard of, like, Girl Meets Farm? Hey, Carlos, have you heard of, like, Girl Meets Farm?
No.
Bro, is that like I don't know, come on, like, right after QVC or something like that at, like, the 3 a.m. slot, and she can call herself a famous, like, Food Network star or some shit? But I digress. I've never heard of her. So, to show her viewers how she makes, quote, crunchy snap pea popcorn salad, she explained the classic Midwestern dish, which comprises popcorn, vegetables, mayonnaise, is usually found in church basement potlucks. I'm going to stop there. Okay, listen, man. When you come to me and you say, hey, I got this great popcorn recipe. Yeah? What are you going to do, make caramel corn? No. What about cheddar cheese stuff? No. Okay, what about some sort of, like, spicy stuff? No. I'm going to go ahead and throw on some mayonnaise and some fucking vegetables. And we're going to hide in the basement of the church and eat this shit and pretend like we like it.
How about new?
Dude, this sounds disgusting. This sounds like the kind of shit you'd use to patch holes in your wall. But I digress. We'll just go on and learn about this new paper mache recipe. So to make the sauce, she combined... Wait, let's just stop there. Sauce for fucking popcorn? Well, okay. This is terrible. To make the sauce, she combines mayonnaise, sour cream, Dijon mustard, sugar, apple cider vinegar, salt, and pepper. God damn, man. So basically what she does is she takes her order from Edward shot her over to over at, like, you know, the fucking Starbucks. She gets that shit, then she takes it over and just pours it over the popcorn and hands it to the people that she hates in the local church. I got you. Okay, I'm on the same page as you now. And then after that, she mixes it with snap peas, carrots, chopped celery before adding to the popcorn, which has been flavored with cheese powder. And then, just for shits and giggles, she tops it with chopped watercress. Now, here's the best part, kids. Quote, some people will put fish in it as well.
I mean, what the fuck?
All right, I'm going to just say, who the fuck eats fish with their popcorn? What is wrong with you? And I'll just go on here. You don't think it's going to work, but when you taste it, it's really good. That's my kind of salad. It's the kind of salad you eat with a spoon. This recipe was first shared on the Food Network, but has since gone viral. After tweeting a social media alert, users of the dish racked up more than 2 million fucking views for this pile of shit, disgusting nastiness. And you know what? Hey, listen, Naj, you could put all the hot sauce you want on it. It ain't gonna save it. Add fish, man. Holy shit. That's not what I'm expecting from the Midwest. Much less this recipe for, like, an alternative edible but not digestible paper mache medium. I mean, if we're talking about the Midwest, I would have expected additions of, like, bratwurst, sauerkraut, Vienna sausages, you know, shit like that. And bonus points if it's just the Vienna sausage juice. You know what I'm saying there? It's just,
I mean, what the fuck?
I mean, who in the fuck is sitting here? It sounds like some kind of, like, fucked up MasterChef mystery box challenge featuring trash bin waste from when we used to go to the movie theaters. You know, they scrape out the leftover mayonnaise that's been sitting in the fucking jar since they last closed the theater down. Maybe some of those Dots candies that nobody has ever eaten ever since, like, the theater opened. Perhaps a little bit of, like, cold hardened nacho cheese for, like, a Cinco de Mayo-inspired twist to the recipe. And, I mean, who in the hell knew that popcorn could easily double as, like, a fucking construction material with just a few simple additions of, like, some mayonnaise and some sour cream and some fucking Dijon mustard? Filthy, disgusting nastiness, man. Ew. I'm just, like, looking at that stuff, my freaking guts are ready to just churn over looking at that shit.
What the fuck?
But she insists it's still crunchy. I mean, do we believe her at all? I'm just wondering.
How about you?
Yeah, I would think it's just going to be some soggy, goopy mess. And it's going to be, like, kind of the stuff that you find over in your baby's freaking diaper. But you know something? Sam Elliott had this fucking great meme that was put out there. And Sam Elliott's meme says, when you're dead, you don't know you're dead, and all the pain is felt by others. The same thing happens when you're stupid. And, you know, I couldn't agree more, because we have all of these, like, freaking, like, 7-Eleven Epicureans over here telling us all these wonderful ideas about their great fucking things that they're going to make with their Frappuccinos and shit and their popcorn salads and all that crap. But you know what? You have to consider the source, because when you don't consider this, or you got to consider the source when you're qualifying this shit, because when you're getting recipes from somebody that has just learned that their toaster has a fucking crumb tray that needs emptying, bro, we got a fucking problem here.
I mean, what the fuck?
You know what I'm saying? So Zoe Alexander went viral after storming off a stage at X Factor at her audition. She racked up the views again after sharing the simple life lesson that had eluded her. Replying to a TikTok trend asking, what is an adult problem nobody has prepared you for? Zoe posted a video to admit, I'm a fucking idiot because nobody told me that I had to empty the crumb tray in the toaster, because if I don't, it sets fire.
Fuck you fucking fuckers!
Dude, listen. Let's just go through the through current events here, all right? In a more recent episode, we had a similar situation where Gen Zers had just figured out the chicken is muscles, not skin, right? Now, apparently, they've just discovered, after they almost set their fucking house on fire, that there's a tray to catch all the crumbs. A moment of silence
as we let the brain cells scream as they die. Okay, let's move on. She doesn't appear to be the only one who hadn't fully grasped how toasters work, unsurprisingly. As hundreds of people took to the comments to admit it left them, quote, mind blown, the video has been watched more than 640,000 times and gained more than 2,000 comments as one viewer replied to say, wait, there's a crumb tray in the toaster? Is that why my toaster caught on fire? Oh, that was my favorite toaster. I threw it away. Okay. We don't even have to wait for micropenises to fucking take hold and, like, completely make men infertile in, like, 2045 and end the human race. TikTok, you're doing a fucking wonderful job wiping out the human race. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking this fucking cultural disaster that we have here, we really need to have an entire series of these kitchen appliance mind-blown how-to videos before, like, every episode of MasterChef. Only we gotta have Gordon Ramsay narrating the play-by-play in between the monologue. That would be fan-fucking-tastic. He's already going ahead and roasting the shit out of everybody over there anyways for all their fucking idiot moves in the kitchen, right? I mean, I don't think he's nearly as good at it as Uncle Roger is over on YouTube. But that's okay. That's a discussion for another time. Hey, listen, PSA to all you fucktards over on, like, TikTok. Before innovating new recipes inspired from the Lucky Charms Leprechaun and the Darwin Awards, how about watching a couple of, like, TikTok instructional videos to learn how the fucking kitchen tools operate first and maybe, just maybe, attempt to use them in the comfort of your own home after? Because this way we could read your obituary for some light entertainment with our morning coffee every morning. You think we could all just, like, fucking get on the same page and do that? That would be absolutely awesome. You can do this, micropenis. Don't know about that. Maybe if the plastics will just go ahead and leave us alone. But I think Mother Nature's going to go ahead and get rid of us before then. You know something? The other thing we could do is we could just, like, ditch the freaking home appliances altogether. I mean, why even bother cooking when you've got TikTokers giving fantastic trends like eating raw fucking chicken and how it's wonderful and part of your fucking diet and everybody should be doing it. Now, Blazin' Brady or Blazin' shared an image which includes 3 pieces of raw poultry, 1 rasher of uncooked bacon, and 1 piece of also uncooked week-old steak. Holy shit.
I mean, what the fuck?
Let's say that again. 3 pieces of raw poultry, 1 rasher of uncooked bacon, and 1 piece of also uncooked week-old steak. He says that he eats the meal after gym sessions, adding the chicken is, quote, not bad and tastes fine when it's raw. Bro. In the video, he said, all right, I got multiple people ask me to make this video because you guys don't believe I'm eating this chicken raw. It's not even bad, brah. You guys are tripping, like, I mean, you guys are terrified of it just because they told you there's bacteria on it, you pussies. It's your natural diet. You'll, like, literally naturally want to eat it. It tastes the same. Maybe it's not as good tasting. It's not as amazing, but it doesn't taste bad, brah. It's normal. I eat it every single day, brah. I wash it down with milk just to get used to it when I first started. Now it's much easier. Doesn't taste bad, brah. I could eat rotten meat. I could eat 2-week-old meat. It all tastes the same.
Holy fucking shit.
You know what? Right after that, we need a fierce...
Did I make myself clear?
Yeah.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
Holy shit. Sure, I mean, he is a weight loss guru after all, right? I mean, shitting your entire colon out every other day from the ongoing salmonella infection each day. I mean, it could be an effective weight loss strategy, so I guess it kind of does make him an expert, right? But why even resort to that, right? We've heard about breatharians. We don't even fucking eat food or drink water or anything. I mean, shit, now we got people sitting here eating fucking raw and rotten meat and shit like that. But you know what really tips the scale is when somebody decides, hey, you know what? Let me just keep eating blue dye until I fucking turn blue. Yeah, that's right, kids. The latest trend sees teens guzzling food coloring in strange attempts to turn their urine blue. The trend appears to have been started by TikTok user Dumbass Colty, who solely drank blue food coloring for 10 fucking days. What? Let's say that again. Who solely drank blue food coloring for 10 days.
I mean, what the fuck?
I'll be drinking blue food coloring and only blue food coloring. From what I've read online, by the fifth day, the color of my pee will be blue. Why? Fucking why? At any rate, in his day 10 video, he said, number one, my pee has turned blue. Hey, celebration time. Number two, my poop has turned blue too. Whoa, wow. Bonus round. Number three, I'm turning blue. My skin's blue, guys, and my hair is even turning blue. It's getting wild. What the fuck is going on here?
I mean, what the fuck?
Oh, following his videos, are you ready, kids? Several other teens are attempting the challenge, including one of his friends who wanted to put his own freaking spin on it and decided to go with green anyways. What the fuck, dude? Now, the best part is this. Some studies show a link between dyes and increased ADHD hyperactivity in children. An Australian study found that 75% of parents noticed an improvement in behavior and attention once the dyes were eliminated. But the best part is they also found the tumor growth in animals that consumed high doses of food dyes, although it can be hard to translate what this means for kids. Now, ironically, this is something that I can relate to. Not because I decided to sit there and just, like, go ape shit with some food dye one day and go, hey, I'm going to go ahead and make some rainbow shit come out of my ass. No, that's not why. I didn't want to fart rainbows. I went over to Las Vegas this one time. And it was back a few years ago when they had the Star Wars exhibit over at the Las Vegas Hilton. Really cool. It was very interactive. Really awesome, right? You got beamed up to the Enterprise. You got to go ahead and nerd out and everything. And they had Quark's Cafe for you to go over and chill out in and get a drink and some food. And they had a lot of cool drinks there. I saw some Romulan ale. And it's a blue ale. And I was like, hey, that's cool. Let me go ahead and have some. Had a Romulan ale. On the way out there, like, giving away a MasterCard or something like that. It's like, if you qualify for a MasterCard or just signing up, we'll give you free gifts. And I'm like, cool, like what? And they said, how would you like to go ahead and have? I do have a colorful colon. Did you want to take a look? Oh, man. So at any rate, I got myself the credit card, and the reason why is because they were giving away a six-pack of Romulan ale. And I was like, holy shit, blue beer, this is going to be awesome. Took the Romulan ale home, right, got two six-packs of it, and we sat there and we were drinking the Romulan ale. The next day, man, I swear to God, I shit out a Smurf. It was just like fucking blue like you couldn't even imagine. Neon blue. If I went and put some fucking like black lights in there, bro, I would have had a neon pinch loaf in the fucking toilet, and it would have felt like I should have been playing the Miami Vice theme in the fucking background. That's what it was like. So I suppose there's nothing that matches the wonderful feeling of drinking so much goddamn blue dye that your satisfyingly refreshed feeling of shitting out a Smurf the next morning actually winds up happening, right? Now, imagine, after feeling that accomplishment out of shitting out the entire Smurf village over like 101 days, and then on like day 102, he sees a little bit of red mixed in with the Smurf he shits out that last time. He's so excited he finally like saved the Papa Smurf deuce for like the last, channeling like that inner Gargamel, you know what I'm saying? It's like pure elation until he goes to the doc and finds out it was really a bleeding tumor from his colon cancer that he shit out thanks to all the blue dye. I mean, ain't natural selection a bitch like that? Oh, my God, man. Why just shit out the Smurf with a regular deuce drop when you can just confidently unleash the inner Smurf trapped within you, kids? And we can go a bit further. Nope, not Blue Man Group. Blue Man Group is pretty amateurish compared to this dude. Apparently, he was miserable until he tattooed his entire body blue to feel confident again. Yeah, kids, it's just taken 3 years for good old Donnie Snyder to transform himself into a jewelry-making, bus-dwelling blue dude. Quote, to be honest, I just like the look of it. I thought it would be neat. It's like living life in strange mode. It's definitely striking, and I think it's a beautiful blue color. He explained that his decision to go big with blue came years after feeling trapped by conformity and a lack of confidence. I was extremely miserable. I decided to quit hiding and break myself out of stagnation and remake my life. Now, I got a question for you guys. Is it just me, or does anyone else think he, like, attended a Tony Robbins seminar, did, like, the 22 hours of brainwashing, got into his state change after drinking his complimentary Kool-Aid, and just, like, did the firewalk right before making this big life-changing decision? I mean, when we stop and think about it, right? This dude is like one set of KKK Grand Wizard hoods and like some fire engine red Spanx away from deposing Papa Smurf in a coup. Bro, man, talk about like Tony freaking Robbins inspired life goals. Holy shit, man. Hey, what do I want to do? I think I'm feeling bad. It's time for me to go out and, I don't know, make myself blue, and I'll feel so much more confident. Excellent. All right, dude, why don't you just walk across that fire over there? Tattoo artist is waiting for you at the other end. And, you know, hey, come back to our Instant Life Regrets course. It's our extender course, and you can just pay the full fee again. How's that work for you? Hey, wonderful, man. Excellent. And then buzz, buzz, buzz. Next thing you know, you're all fucking blue. Hey, listen. I'm not a big fan of blue, but whatever, man. Life goals. Freaking life goals. All right, kids. I'm a little partial. I'm going to go ahead and take a break here. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. You know, there's something about a bunch of chicks screaming in a mic during while playing punk rock music in the background that just says Memorial Weekend. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it is like a distinctly American thing. Speaking of which, hey, kids, it's Friday night. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host. You're listening to Joculation. We got the circle of intimacy slightly growing over here. Most are probably having a barbecue.
One of us. Kubel Gobble, yeah. One of us. We accept that one of us. Kubel Gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us.
So we're talking about really dumb TikTok trends at the beginning of this thing. It was mostly like food-related, things of that nature. Now I think what we're going to do is take a look at some of the ways that COVID is like changing the workplace and some of the things and distortions and weirdness that are going on right now. Like, for instance, you know, I was just sitting here going ahead, taking a look at a few, getting a couple of LP Longpen. It's okay, Bonehead. He can hang for as long as you can, my friend. There's always the podcast, as you know. You can always check it out there. So, you know, I was sitting here going ahead and interviewing for some stuff, getting some contracts signed, all that shit, to go ahead and do some more stuff in my day job. And it's interesting because, like, the freaking workplace is crazy now. There is a mad dash to get anybody that's an accountant nailed down, like, as soon as freaking possible. You know what I'm saying? It was interesting.
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
Well, of course, everybody's sitting there wondering, you know, what sort of industries are people flocking to? Well, you know, apparently what happens is the sex tech industry has become the biggest boom lately for everybody to go ahead and move towards. So half of adult Americans have gotten a COVID-19 vaccine, and that could lead to more sex this summer. I mean, hey, Captain Obvious. Last year, Cake, a sexual health and wellness startup, sold more coconut oil moisturizing cream made for men's masturbation than any other product it offers. Let me say that again. Cake, a sexual health and wellness startup, sold more coconut oil moisturizing cream made for men's masturbation than any other product it offers. All right, let me just stop here, right? Who in the fuck, when you're sitting there looking for some lube, fellas, and we don't have to just like have an open conversation about this, but just think about this in your mind. Who in the fuck do you know says, you know something, I need some masturbation cream, but I need something that's hydrating and will actually go ahead and sort of, I don't know, moisturize while I'm sitting there and rubbing it in? I mean, who in the fuck does this? No, it's like the first available thing you can find. It's like, shit, dude, I don't want corns on my dick. I got to find something over here, right? So it's kind of like that. At least, am I sharing too much? At any rate. So, the next several months could be a boom time for sex tech and other sexual wellness businesses, from direct-to-consumer lingerie to birth control delivery. Holy shit. We've got shortages and shit happening that's over. Yeah. We've got shortages of garden gnomes and sex toys that were going to Europe because of the Suez Canal thing. We've got people that are desperate to get into sex tech for free fucking lube and all the good things that are happening. Clearly, what winds up happening is sex toys and shit like that have become so huge. In fact, if you think it's just a U.S. problem, apparently now it's so bad Pakistan's sex toy black market is booming as locals risk jail to buy butt plugs.
I mean, what the fuck?
Let me just say that one more time. Pakistan has become the butt plug hub of the world, all right? Of all fucking places. Poppies and butt plugs, man. Sex toys and fetish gear are outlawed under the country's archaic laws on making or selling, quote, obscene material and objects. But manufacturers are getting around the bans by selling kinky toys online, with better pay tempting workers to go underground. By selling, advertising, or manufacturing of sex toys is punishable by a fine and jail term of 3 months or more in Pakistan. Despite this, Qamar set up a small business making and exporting steel butt plugs in their hometown of whatever it's called, Cyclone. Or Salcot? I don't know. At any rate, it's a city now where most sex toy manufacturing takes place. It's known to produce and export steel surgical instruments and is the world's leading manufacturer of leather footballs. But its leather and steel production expertise has seen it become an underground exporter and online seller of steel sex toys and leather fetish gear to consumers in the U.S., Australia, and the U.K. See you later, Bonehead. And, I mean, holy shit, a Karachi-based sex toy supplier said, "This industry is so huge, you can pay off a year's worth of debt from your profit. It's like Bitcoin or a cryptocurrency." Dude, whoever knew that, like, dildos would be the NFT? I'm actually not even that. Who knew that steel butt plugs would be like the fucking modern-day NFT? Or should I say archaic NFT? Whichever the case may be. But anyone else get, like, the fucking impression that the next war in Waziqua region, you know, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Waziristan, is going to explode over, like, steel butt plug exports and fetish pony play gear from some butthurt neo-Nazi brony on 4chan? I mean, that could probably be what's going to set everything else off. You know what I'm saying? It's the most likely thing. First, it was about poppies. Now, it's about things that you shove up your ass. And we can't have that because that's just terrible. But you know something? The workplace, it's changing. It's changing an awful lot. It's becoming more accommodating, more inclusive. In fact, if you join some companies, what happens is you're actually allowed to masturbate for 30 minutes a day during working hours. So what would you do if you got an email from your boss encouraging you to masturbate every day for 30 minutes during your hours? For employees of the Swedish Erica Lust, director of a female-friendly porn films, this is a reality. Lust firmly believes in the benefits of masturbation and wants to break the stigma around it. She also wants to encourage other companies to give their employees such a masturbation moment. May is International Masturbation Month, folks. Go blind this month. And Lust Cinema is in Sweden. CEO Erica is launching a campaign that gives her employees the permission to masturbate for 30 minutes a day until the end of the year, during work, no less. Incidentally, it's not a new concept. Like, according to a 2016 survey from Time Out New York, 39% of people masturbate at work, you fucking pervs. According to psychologists, a second of self-gratification during the hours could sharpen your focus and increase your productivity. So, quote, "The pandemic is massive and massive changes in our lives." Well, let me back up here. "The pandemic and the massive changes in our lives made my employees a bit restless and performed with less energy. So I installed a private masturbation booth at work."
I mean, what the fuck?
Let me say that again. "So I installed a private masturbation booth at work. Because if there's one thing that everyone feels good about, it's masturbating. I value my employees, and I know they do a good job when they feel good." What in the fuck, dude?
I mean, what the fuck?
So as I understand it, right, when you work at home, you're always masturbating at work. You know, there's a bit of truth to that whole thing. I'm just thinking, right, you know what's going to wind up happening? First, you have all of those, like, you know, performance, like, fucking appraisal meetings and stuff. And it's like, "Hey, do me a favor, dude. You're jerking off too much and you're not getting your work done. Could you, like, knock it off? I mean, cut down the jerk-off sessions to maybe, like, I don't know, three a day rather than, like, you know, five. That would be really cool." I mean, could you imagine how many fucking help wanted ads out they have that they have out there for, like, jizz moppers? Think about it. You walk into the masturbation room. First, everybody's watching you and wondering, waiting to hear what it sounds like when you actually have your orgasm. And then, of course, when you walk out, the next person goes in and they're like, you know, their feet are sticking to the fucking jizz covered floor, you know, squish, squish, squish. And it's like, "Dude, we don't have enough jizz moppers in here. Can we get some jizz moppers in here? Hire a few from the fucking porn set down the street." You know what I'm saying?
I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
Dude, this has got to be the most fucked up.
But most awesome of all things, like of all of the possible like perks you could get at work. You know, you're feeling a little stressed out. You have a rough day. No problem. Why don't you go over into the room and jerk off for a minute? Let me know when you're done. Just be sure to wash your hands, okay? Dude. Could you imagine? How would that shit go over here in the United States, right? If we could sit here, we're going to go ahead. It's like if you're using improper pronouns, you're going over to the fucking office of the Human Resources Department, right? What's going to happen if you're like not jerking off correctly in an inclusive manner that's respectful to the people around you? I'm just kind of wondering where this whole fucking slippery slope leads, because I have no fucking idea. Oh, my God, man. All right, then. I got to go ahead and take a break here. I'm kind of parched, man. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, remaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. Hey, man, Slayer. You can't go wrong with Slayer. You know what I'm saying? Again, between the chicks screaming in the microphone and saying all kinds of offensive things with the punk beats, and then you got Slayer in the background about, you know, like, you know, abolish government. I think this is a fantastic, like, you know, what is it, Memorial Day weekend lineup. You know what I'm saying? Like, it couldn't possibly get better, could it? I mean, you know. Of course it could. Of course it could. See, I was about to reflexively bring in Carlos over here.
No.
And, you know, to that point, before I go on with this thing, one of the funnier things is inside of the rating that I got, the guy's sitting there saying to me, man, I love all the, like, things that you salt in there with all the drops. And I'm thinking to myself, maybe I should just do a show where I just keep pressing the drops, like, over and over.
Anybody
right?
having fun around here? Anybody think that this is popcorn time?
Or maybe just nearly dead Ric Flair, right? Or, you know, one we all love here.
I like money.
Especially in a falling crypto market. But, hey, what can I say? Hey, kids, it's Friday night. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host. It's Joculation. Check it out. We're, like, halfway through the show. Wow, look at how that. Look at how fast that time goes, right? Could it possibly go faster? I'm thinking to myself, probably. All we got to do is just throw a little more music in there, but that's going to be for later. That's not for now. Right now, what I'm concerned about is all this aggression and pent-up fucking anger that seems to be coming out from all of this pandemic lockdown stuff and everybody taking it out on everybody else, right? I mean, shit, we were just talking about them creating a safe space inside of a work area to go ahead and encourage masturbation. Next thing you know, you find out that, like, a sex shop assistant was beating a man with a dildo after realizing he was masturbating to one of those fucking, like, mannequins in the corner there in this hateful, non-inclusive manner. And it's just so incredibly offensive to see this kind
Did
of
I
thing happen.
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
So a sex shop CCTV captured the bizarre moment when a member of staff battered a client with a sex toy after catching him in the act of pleasuring himself in front of a scantily clad mannequin. In the video, a young woman dressed in a yellow hoodie can be seen studying the products on offer. Oh, excuse me, a young man. See, you gotta watch it, making mistakes here. Young man dressed in a yellow hoodie can be seen studying the products on offer while being guided through his options by the shop assistant, who's being ever so kind. After the shop assistant rushes off to answer a phone call, he seems to suddenly catch sight of a dummy seated over in the corner of the room. That's an offensive turn. A plastic person of personhood, something like that, seated in the corner of the room, displaying a bondage-inspired latex outfit, right? He promptly embarks on a solo sex act in front of her. Instantly, I realized what he was doing. She, grabbing a handful of his jacket and attempting to drag him out of the shop, the discombobulated masturbator tries to prevent her from evicting... Discombobulated masturbator. Say that five times fast. Discombobulated masturbator. Tries to prevent her from evicting him long enough to do his trousers up, but the exasperated shop assistant grabs hold of a nearby dildo and starts clubbing the offender with it as he flees the store. Holy shit, man. And, you know, I was sitting there one time reading one of the free rags when I was over at the university at one point, and they did this whole spread. So think like Village Voice or like Westward, like if you're over here in Colorado or any of those places where it's like all like freaking ads to go ahead and hook up in the back or get pot. And, like, inside, they've got a million ads for other shit and, like, two stories.
Well, one of the stories that they did was in a slow news cycle. Let me go over to the largest freaking fuck shop that we've got over on Miami Beach and interview the guy there about theft. And I'm thinking, all right, I mean, that's an interesting angle. So what do? Instead of beating the shit out of people that they caught stealing stuff like this or jerking off or whatever, what they would do is they would give them the option. Either A, we can go ahead and contact the cops and have you arrested for shoplifting, or B, you can sit here holding up your offensive material that you're trying to steal and take a picture for our wall of shame that will hang up there with all of your freaking information. Which would you prefer to do? So most of them didn't want to go over to, like, you know, fucking prison and explain to, like, their cohorts inside of jail how they got pinched because they were stealing, like, a 14-inch black dong that they were going to go ahead and take home and enjoy for the evening. Or explain why it was that they were looking at, like, Bunghole Bunny's 45 for just the cinematography and wonderful effects that were in there. It was absolutely the most fantastic thing in the entire world, and it was one of the greatest deterrents, right? But still, that doesn't, you know, sit there and absolutely really bring to us what sort of aggression is out there in the streets, right? The kind of people that we're dealing with that are just so angry that in the middle of a store, you know, they'd beat the shit out of each other with a 10-pound beef log. Yeah, I know.
I mean, what the fuck?
Yes, an Ohio woman was arrested after beating another woman in the store with a 10-pound beef log. So she's been arrested using a 10-pound beef log to assault another woman who had a protective order against her. So Manica Garner, 25, has been charged with assault in violation of a temporary protection order after beating Precious Jackson, 36, with the prepackaged meat. That line alone should be fucking enshrined in, like, one of the greatest pieces of, like, freaking literature you could possibly imagine. So at any rate, the incident occurred Tuesday in the potato chip aisle. Dude, this sounds like something out of freaking, like, America's Most Wanted. Here we go in that voice. The incident occurred Tuesday in the potato chip aisle of a Walmart in South Euclid, about 15 miles east of Cleveland. Garner told authorities that, quote, she thought the protection order was no longer in effect. According to the document, she'd noticed that she'd been arrested for violating the order and hit Garner, quote, a couple of times in the face with a 10-pound log of prepackaged fucking ground beef, dude. Ah! And it's not even the Jerry Springer show, although when you're in, like, the potato chip aisle of Walmart, I mean, shit, it's pretty much like the fucking soundstage of the Jerry Springer show. You know what I'm saying? So she's sitting here beating the shit out of this woman. Am I a broadcaster during the day? The answer to your question, Justin, is no, I am not. No, I am not. So she's beating the living shit out of this person with, like, a Hickory Farms display item in the middle of the potato chip aisle, beating the crap out of this woman. And I'm thinking to myself, dude, you know those, like, wonderful, like holiday, you know, like, montages and shit like that? I mean, wouldn't this be, like, an epic Hickory Farms freaking commercial for, like, Thanksgiving or maybe for, like, the prepackaged Christmas sheet shit, you know, or Christmas, you know, stuff there with, like, the cheese from last year and, like, the preserved meat that's probably been in the warehouse for, like, 6 years or whatever? I mean, you could have that wonderful, like, you know, music in the background, that soft, like, you know, kind of thing. Make it look like Santa's sliding down the chimney. Everybody's off to sleep except two people who are sitting there completely fucking repulsed by the Hickory Farm stuff, so much so that they want popcorn salad on the side. And then one gets really offended and then grabs the freaking meat stick and just begins to club the shit out of her as Santa's putting gifts down underneath the Christmas tree. I mean, dude, that would be so fucking awesome. I'd love to go ahead and watch that commercial with, like, a hot cocoa or something like that. I would feel like I was brought into the mood and maybe some wonderful, like, Christmas carols, like Silent Night playing in the background as you can hear the meat, like, slapping against her and hearing her plead for her life as she's being beaten to death with some preserved fucking meat package. It's got, like, everything you need. Those warm moments, those vague sexual innuendos. It's got it all, man. It's so perfect. But see, that one, That one's not the one that was like the one that was ever so disturbing and really brought home that feeling of desperation and anger that people are sitting here. Hot cocoa, that's so white. Hey, Norma, good to see you made it. That's not the one that captures the essence of the anger that's out there. No. What could possibly do it? I don't know, when you got a dude that's over at Kid Rock's bar beating the shit out of people with colostomy bags.
Yeah. I mean, what the fuck?
Yeah, let me just say it again, man. A man's arrested at Kid Rock's bar for removing his colostomy bag and swinging it around, man. So according to Scan Nashville on Twitter, which I'll be following relentlessly now for more news, a call came over the Metro Nashville Police radio last night for assistance at Kid Rock's big-ass honky-tonk rock and roll steakhouse on Lower Broadway. A man had removed his colostomy bag and was flinging shit around at others. This was not the first time, not the second time, but the third time the police had been in contact with the man that night, right?
I mean, what the fuck?
So let's say it again. It was the third time that the police had been in contact with the man that night. Why they didn't fucking drag him out of there by his colostomy, I don't know. But they decided to let him sit there until he's flinging. He pulls off his colostomy bag and he's like squirting that shit out like Velveeta cheese all over everybody there. And he previously refused medical attention both times. When the police encountered the man again, he removed his colostomy bag and began flinging shit on the responding officers. Oh my fucking God, right?
I mean, what the fuck?
At least one officer was temporarily out of service after having to run home to make a wardrobe change. Dude. Dude, come on now, right? Why on earth? I mean,
what the fuck?
I'm just thinking to myself, right? I had a friend that got locked up in a mental health institution at one point, and he comes back to me afterwards. I'm like, so how'd it go? He's like, I got to tell you about the fucking characters that were inside there. And I'm like, oh, yeah? How bad was it? He said, I'm just going to tell you about one right now. We'll talk about the rest of them later. He's like, there was a guy that the orderlies called Peter the Shitslinger. And I'm like, Peter the Shitslinger, you say? Why is that? Because what Peter the Shitslinger would do is he would try to get the fuck out of the mental hospital every time. And what he'd do is he'd shit in the palm of his hand, wipe it all over the doorknob on the inside, and then he'd go ahead and take the rest and cover himself from head to toe, start making a scene so the orderlies had to open the door, and then he'd fucking make a run for it, covered in shit, out the door. I mean, when you think about it, it's kind of like, dude, that's pretty brilliant because, I mean, when you see somebody, first when you smell them, and they're running at you, covered in shit, the first thing is to go, get the fuck away from me, right? But no, every time they went ahead, pulled him down, zapped the shit out of him, hit him up with some Thorazine and hosed him off. So it didn't quite work. And now we got this guy over there going ahead and taking a page out of Peter the Shitslinger's book. Only what he's trying to do is he's trying to share the experience with everybody. At any rate, kids. All right, man. I'm Parsh. I'm going to take a break here. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. Again, man, like Leo taking a song that is was marginal at best and making it sound better. You know what I'm saying? Holy shit. Brings back a lot of memories when I was a kid. Hey, kids, it's Friday night. LP Faust here. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. Hey, guess what? We've got like 30 minutes left. Isn't that incredible? Don't worry, show's not over yet. Got some more things that we've got to go ahead and cover. But we had a full slate this evening so far. And apparently at this point in time, what winds up happening is it appears as though we have some people out there that are saying some very unctuous shit. Let's just say that we've got a couple of public, statements over here. Some problems with the way that the publicity campaigns are going on here. So, for instance, we're taking a look here at, like, Greta Thunberg. You know, I don't have that one, but I can just go ahead and put this one up there, right?
How dare you?
So Greta Thunberg, apparently, right now, is a bit upset because the Chinese state-run media has been fat-shaming her in a scathing article that questioned her veganism. You know what I mean?
How dare you?
So Greta Thunberg has called out a Chinese state media for fat-shaming her in a scathing article that questioned her vegetarianism. The Independent reported, although she claims to be vegetarian, this is according to the Chinese Daily News, although she claims to be vegetarian, judging from the results of her growth, her carbon emissions are actually not low.
How dare you?
Dude, that's foul. Thunberg, who's a vegan, responded to the article on Twitter on Friday. She described how being fat-shamed by a wing of the Chinese government was, quote, pretty weird. Being fat-shamed by the Chinese state-owned media is pretty weird, even by my standards, but it's definitely going to go on my resume. I'm thinking to myself, what in the fuck are these people doing going after Greta Thunberg, who I actually kind of feel bad for, to be quite honest with you. But, you know, they're going after Greta Thunberg over here about,
you know,
her carbon emissions and sort of implicating some stuff. It seems like the CCP may have actually gone ahead and sent a few representatives to the Disney management training seminars that featured leadership and marketing ideas from the Lululemon CEO. You remember that guy, Chip Wilson, the guy who basically went ahead and blamed women's bodies for yoga pants problems, right? Do we remember this guy?
Yeah!
What a fucking winner, right? So back in 2013, less than 9 months after Lululemon came under fire for the, quote, sheerness of its yoga pants, the company founder said that women's bodies may be to blame for problems with the luxury workout attire. Quote, frankly, some women's bodies just don't actually work for your pants. It's more really about the rubbing through the thighs, how much pressure there is over a period of time, and how much they use it. And I'm thinking to myself, dude, what a fucking great marketing message from the goddamn CEO and founder. If the fatties buying Lululemon yoga pants would just stop buttering up their hips before shoehorning their fat asses into our yoga pants, maybe the fabric wouldn't spontaneously combust from the friction of their thighs rubbing together. Way to go there, dude. Fucking great. Could you be my spokesperson?
Yeah!
I think you'd do some fucking fantastic work destroying whatever audience I have remaining, sir. What the fuck kind of a person? Dude, where do you get this fucking idea from, right? Listen, Burger King had some pretty fringe ideas on what fucking, you know, marketing was. But they never went ahead and actually called their you know, people that went there a bunch of fat slobs, or even implied it, right? They just went ahead and were saying things like, I'm hungry, that very famous campaign that was the antithesis of what freaking McDonald's was doing, right? But now, you got a guy coming out and effectively saying, hey, bro, you ladies over there that are buying our pants over here complaining that they're ripping, dude, it's not the pants. It's the fact that you're trying to shoehorn your ass into those pants and you're destroying them, dude. Maybe that's why you made a failed move into, like, men's clothing. I mean, who in the fuck wears freaking Lululemon pants, right, for dudes? Hey, Carlos, do you wear Lululemons over there?
No.
Fuck that shit. Although maybe what I should do is in LP's Creative Curiosities, which I'm trying to put together here, maybe I should buy some Lululemon pants to go ahead and give away along with everything else, right? Yes, it is. Yes, it is too fucking expensive, Julia. They're fucking ridiculous. Oh, my God. But you know something? Maybe really what has to happen is both of them, they both need to get some influencer marketing, right, into their channel. And perhaps, like, I don't know, channel that inner Donald Trump to, like, fat shame and stuff. And it just so happens that there's an influencer who suddenly found a vacancy in her schedule. I mean, who would be the best fucking brand influencer for both these tards? Chrissy Teigen, of course. I mean, she's just been dropped by like three major brands over tweets about Courtney Stodden, right? So like freaking, you know, Eastern European and him. So freaking Courtney Stodden has come forward with their story about being bullied and harassed by Chrissy Teigen on Twitter as a young teen. Teigen tweeted at Stodden, I hate you. And allegedly DM'd her things like, I can't wait for you to die. And she has since apologized. But the story has become public knowledge as major retailers have taken note. And suddenly, freaking Target, Macy's, Bloomingdale's have all reportedly dropped her for Cravings by Chrissy cookware line.
How dare you?
Dude, this is the greatest, right? Why don't we just go ahead and have Chrissy Teigen sit there and be like the voice of the CCP. She could just go ahead. I mean, we don't even need to go ahead and have those people from, like, CCP translators and sitting there trying to pretend like they're actually not being ruthless. We could just have them, like, feed lines to Chrissy Teigen, and she could just tell people how much she fucking hates them, that they're just fatties and all kinds of stuff like that. And, I mean, what difference does it make? She's in a place that's very much like Kanye West. It's like, oh, shit, all of my income's gone. Any port in a storm, please, quick. Oh, Chinese Communist Party, you want me to go ahead and be your spokesperson? Sure, where do I go ahead and fucking sign up? You know what I'm saying? Got to keep up those false pretenses and shit like that. You know how it is. Got to make sure that we go ahead and keep pumping those Twitter numbers and that the check just keeps clearing the bank. And, you know, at the rate they keep going ahead and buying up dollars to go ahead and devalue the yuan, I'll tell you what. They got more than enough fucking dollars to go ahead and pay Chrissy Teigen. So there you go, man. Perfect marriage made in heaven, right? Awesome. All right, kids. I got to go ahead and take a break here because we're coming to our absolute bestest part of the show. You're listening to Joculation. All right, kids. It's Friday night. We're just about coming to the end of it. I think we got about 10 minutes left. And hey, man. You know, we've been sitting here going ahead and busting ourselves, or what was it, busting out all the stories that, you know, matter the most in life, the things that are important to focus on, all those things that are so incredibly important out there. Like, for instance, we've got to start thinking about the, you know, summer plans that are coming. Like, I don't know, if you're, like, trying to go ahead and make it to the all-you-can-eat annual testicle eating festival, well, it's been ruined by fraudsters. So will that be happening this year? I'm just kind of asking the question.
How about new?
No, it won't be happening this year. So apparently the Calumet County Testicle Festival over in Kaukauna, Wisconsin, offers live music and an all-you-can-eat testicle-based menu. All right, man. Yeah! So, but one of the food stalls, Rocky's Tara's Nut House, revealed that its staff had been duped by counterfeiters who passed a number of fake $100 bills. So you know what that means, Normock? Are you going to be able to go to the testicle eating fest this year? I've heard.
No.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen. So they made a notice to let everybody know all upcoming festivals and big events to be on guard, because apparently there are some fake bills, some fake $100 bills with Chinese writing that have been passed around. And they've reported these before on these fake bills. Some of them are marked as motion picture bills. They explain that during the festival, the restaurant staff are particularly busy and don't have time for normal checks. So people are, you know, they're stating well, and they can see that from like a mile away. So ultimately, unfortunately, you're see older pass. So unfortunately, if you were looking for that like authenticious, like testicle based menu that you, you know, you've been waiting all year for, something to look forward over the freaking Memorial Day weekend. It appears that, you know, as far as that goes, you know,
how about new?
It's not happening this year. So, unfortunately, you'll have to make some other plans, or maybe they'll just, like, reschedule it. You know what I'm saying? So, I'll tell you what, kids, we're going to take a break, one more song here. Then we're going to do our wrap-up, and we'll get out of here. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural out of shit of the stars, ringmaster of the shit show. You're listening to Joculation. Wow, and just like that, man, we've got to go ahead and go through the wrap-up. So, that being said, let's go ahead and just do a quick recap here. So we started this out, talked about our first review that Joculation received, got a 5-star review over on iTunes. Appreciate it so much. Go check it out if you want to. At some point, I'm going to go ahead and post up the video review that he went ahead and put up there. It's pretty killer. I was quite surprised, quite happy. Turns out that most people don't want to go ahead and listen to music that are listening to podcasts, which is kind of interesting and makes a whole lot of sense, which is why I'm just going to go ahead and recycle the playlist over and over and over every week. That way, everybody will know what's coming. We talked about the obnoxious-ass TikTok orders that have been created over there to go ahead and just absolutely piss off a whole bunch of people over at Starbucks asking for dumbass things like a venti caramel ribbon crunch frappuccino with like 85 freaking things to put inside of it because they got nothing better to do in between like squirting some Gorilla Glue on their face and like gluing their eyes shut and shit like that, right? And then on top of that, we talked about that disgusting popcorn salad that came out that's a crime against humanity and probably should be used as a spackling paste. And when somebody's saying to me, oh, no, it tastes better when you add fish, what do we think, Carlos?
No.
Yeah, fuck that shit. We're just going to go ahead and use it as spackling paste and throw it out the fucking door. Then we talked about how people are only just learning that a fucking toaster has a crumb tray that needs emptying, and certain people have gone ahead and set themselves in their house on fire because they were fucktards and never went ahead and emptied that thing out, because why would they, right? And then we talked about the fantastic, nauseating video of a fitness guru that's eating raw chicken to prove it's part of his diet. And, of course, he's talking about his wonderful weight loss regimen. And we say, of course you're a weight loss guru, because when you shit your entire colon out every other day from the ongoing salmonella infection you keep reinforcing, it could be an effective weight loss strategy. And then, of course, we talked about the fantastic trend of TikTok teens guzzling food coloring to turn their urine blue and other parts of their body, and how eventually they'll cause a cancer to occur and they'll be shitting out a Smurf along with about half of their intestine with it. We talked about a miserable man that decided that it wasn't enough to go ahead and actually eat the freaking blue dye. He tattooed his entire fucking body to turn to blue, so then that way he can feel happy and sing the fucking Smurf song just like everybody else around him and feel like his life is fucking complete. And from there, we went into the wonderful things about the changing workspace, about how people are flocking to sex tech startups to stock up on lube and laundry to prepare for a wild summer of hookups. And now venture capital firms are starting to dump money into that. We talked about Pakistan's sex toy black market and the booming. It's booming as like locals are risking to jail to buy butt plugs and actually create stainless steel butt plugs and fetish wear over there that is now supplying the world. So we expect that that will become the new hotspot for war. Why? Not because of opium and all that stuff. It's because of they'll explode over steel butt plug exports and fetish pony play gear from some butthurt neo-Nazi bronies over on 4chan. Also, we talked about the company that now is mandating and allowing a person to masturbate for 30 minutes a day during working hours, and they're encouraging this to happen as well. Who knows whether or not you've got the sticky floor. What's that? I hope he said not to bother him. I hope he never said such a thing. At any rate, so, you know, you get your 30 minutes of masturbation time. They got to go ahead and get the jizz mopper from down the street to actually take care of it. But, you know, it makes some awkward moments over there. Just make sure to use the hand sanitizer. Clean your hands occasionally when you finish up over there. Then we talked about the pent-up aggression that exists in society today because of all this stuff that's been going on. So we talked about the sex shop assistant that beat a man to death practically with an adult toy after having him masturbate to some mannequins. And an Ohio woman that beat another woman up with a 10-pound beef log because it's a Hickory Farms commercial type thing. Then we talked about a man who got arrested at Kid Rock's bar for removing his colostomy bag and just releasing a brown shower of love on everybody over there. And from there, we went over and checked out a few other things. We went and talked a bit about Greta Thunberg being called a fatty by the Chinese state media, not directly, but sort of indirectly, and about how the Lululemon guy is bitching about how women's fat bodies are actually causing problems with the yoga pants and it's not just really shitty fabric. And then, of course, we talked about how Chrissy Teigen would be the ultimate influencer to go ahead and take care of all of this, perhaps even be a spokesperson for CCP China. And, you know, that about wraps it up for this week. So, kids, that's all there is. There is no more. I've got a hustle right here. I'm LP Faust. Everybody that came out, thanks for coming out. Everybody that's checking it out on the podcast, thanks for doing that. Everybody that's been downloading those episodes, you guys are incredible. I appreciate everything that you've done. Guys, we'll catch you next week. I'm LP Faust. Remember, excuse me. Shakespeare said, all the world's a stage as we strut and fret across the stage of life. Always be sure to ask yourself, why watch a show when you can be the show? Again, kids, catch you next week. Have a happy Memorial Day to those in the U.S. Catch you next time. Take care. I'm out.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Joculation. We hope you enjoyed the episode and encourage you to join us for the live interactive social broadcast every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. If you enjoy Joculation, I have another podcast you might like, Everyday Crazy. Search for them and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this right now. If you're listening over a smartphone, tap or swipe over the cover art of the podcast. You'll find show notes which may include details you may have missed and links to my Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon pages. If you'd like to hear more of Joculation and other shows from LP, in addition to extra content, early access, merchandise, and other perks, you can subscribe to my Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/LPFaust. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram. Please be sure to follow me on Twitter @FaustLP and Instagram @LPFaust. And thank you. Joculation is created, produced, hosted, and edited by me, LP Faust. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.